Details emerge on what happened aboard Flight 1549. The Brits approve a third runway for Heathrow. And airline employment follows passenger volume down. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, January 19th, 2009. The bravery and competence of the crew of Flight 1549 is still resounding worldwide after the now famous Hudson River ditching of a U.S. Airways Airbus A320 on Thursday. In a follow-up story on the incident, Britain's BBC reported details of the first interviews by investigators with Captain Chesley B. Sully Sullenberger. He reportedly told the NTSB Saturday the ditching came after a split-second decision to avoid a catastrophic crash in a populated neighborhood. The plane's flight data recorder shows both engines were disabled simultaneously just 90 seconds after takeoff from New York LaGuardia International Airport at 3,200 feet. The Associated Press quoted the captain as saying he was too low, too slow, and near too many buildings to go anywhere but the river. Co-pilot Jeff Skiles was at the controls for takeoff and told investigators he saw the oncoming formation of birds and alerted Sullenberger. NTSB board member Kitty Higgins recalls the captain exclaimed, "My aircraft!" and instinctively ducked. The crew then described a thump, the smell of burning birds, and a silence described as like being in a library. Sullenberger says that at that point, he took the controls and made the decision that the river would be the best option. Saturday, the plane was lifted from the river using cranes and put on a barge for draining of its fuel tanks. Yet to be recovered is the left engine, which was torn from the wing in the ditching. Crews believe they've located the engine on the river bottom, where divers will attempt to retrieve it starting tomorrow. Despite strong opposition from environmental groups, the British government gave approval last week for the construction of a third runway at London's Heathrow Airport. The project won't be completed till 2019, but officials say the added capacity is necessary to compete as a major European destination. British Transport Secretary Geoff Hoon told Parliament, quote, "Doing nothing at Heathrow would allow extra capacity at other hub airports like Frankfurt and Schiphol and Charles de Gaulle. Doing nothing will damage our economy and have no impact whatsoever on climate change," unquote. Hoon said advancements in aircraft technology will bring an overall reduction in noise levels and pollution, even with the third runway. But the planned demolition of homes to accommodate that runway is still causing an uproar. Councillor Ray Puttyfoot, whose borough of Hillingdon includes the areas to be razed, said the Prime Minister is making an immense and unnecessary decision. Quote, "It is devastating for the people that live there, for the homes, the jobs, for the schools. This is Gordon Brown sucking up to business, and he's doing it at the expense of people and at the expense of the environment," unquote. Numerous detractors of the project have vowed to fight it in court. CNN reports Greenpeace bought up a tract of land in the intended expansion area and announced a plan to divide it into tiny portions to be sold to supporters worldwide, slowing down the project with a logjam of legal challenges. With U.S. passenger airline traffic dropping off in 2008, it's not surprising to learn airline employment is following. The U.S. Department of Transportation reports scheduled U.S. passenger airlines employed 6.5% fewer workers in November 2008 than they did in November 2007. That makes the fifth consecutive decrease in full-time equivalent employee levels from the same month of the previous year, and the largest year-to-year decrease since November of 2005. The November FTE total of 392,185 was the lowest since 1993. FTE calculations count two part-time employees as one full-time employee. All the network airlines employed fewer people than in the previous year. You can find more detail on the numbers in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Following a two-day hearing in Philadelphia, the chief administrative law judge of the National Transportation Safety Board has dismissed an emergency FAA revocation of a New Jersey mechanic's ANP, IA, and commercial pilot certificates. The case was started by FAA inspectors Daniel Spera and Thomas Mancuso from the Teterboro FISDO, who admitted that they never spoke with either the mechanic or aircraft owner during their investigation. They charged the mechanic with making a fraudulent or intentionally false maintenance record entry because he used the word replaced instead of reinstalled in connection with an expired ELT battery, which was not required for airworthiness anyway. They also accused the mechanic of letting pass a left flap they said must have been corroded at the time of inspection. Neither inspector had experience maintaining aircraft near the highly corrosive Atlantic Ocean seashore, where the aircraft had been based. When it came to light that the mechanic had removed the right flap due to corrosion, the judge discredited testimony that corrosion on the left flap must have existed at the time of the inspection. The mechanic's attorney, Gregory Winton, called the case, quote, just another example of the FAA's abuse of prosecutorial discretion, unquote. Up next on ANN, Albuquerque holds its breath to see if the new owners of Eclipse will stay in town. NTSB rules on 4 medevac helicopter accidents. And business aviation gets more bad press. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with a sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just 3 reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 19th. I'm Paul Platt. Officials in Albuquerque, New Mexico, anxiously awaited word of an outcome to Friday's hearing in a Delaware bankruptcy court, hoping that would-be buyer ETURC will keep Eclipse Aviation in the city. Those officials and about 950 workers still technically employed by the bankrupt company will have to wait a little longer. After testimony in Friday's hearing ran into the evening, the judge postponed a decision until tomorrow. New Mexico politicians approved tax breaks and spent millions on road and water system improvements, hoping that Eclipse would grow and contribute much back into the local economy. Even the FAA pitched in with funding for a new control tower at Albuquerque's Double Eagle II Airport, in anticipation of a significant increase in air traffic once the company relocated there from the Albuquerque International Sunport. That new tower went online earlier this month. City Councilman Michael Cadigan said, quote, I guess the lesson we learned is buyer beware. The good news is we have a bunch of infrastructure out there ready to go when the economy turns around, unquote. As part of an ongoing review of the safety of medical helicopter operations, the NTSB Thursday released updated information on 9 medevac accidents in 2007 and 2008, including 4 probable cause assessments. The board ruled that poor weather combined with low light conditions contributed to the February 2008 loss of a Eurocopter AS-350B2 near South Padre Island, Texas, the June 2008 crash of a Bell 407 near Huntsville, Texas, and the crash of a Eurocopter BK-117 near Whittier, Alaska in December of 2007. A total of 11 people died in those accidents. The NTSB also ruled the December 2007 loss of a Bell 206L3 near Cherokee, Alabama, was likely due to a collision with trees as the helicopter flew low over a wooded area searching for a missing hunter. The pilot, a paramedic, and a flight nurse were all lost in that accident. Robert Sumwalt, who chairs the investigation's Board of Inquiry, said the NTSB will also hold 4 days of hearings concerning medevac safety. Quote, this hearing will be extremely important because it can provide an opportunity to learn more about the industry so that possibly we can make further recommendations that can prevent these accidents and save lives, unquote. Riding a recent wave of public attention to the role of aviation in American business, a U.S. corporation is accusing a rival of wasting shareholder money by operating a Gulfstream jet. Gaylord Entertainment Company owns the upscale Gaylord Hotels, the Grand Ole Opry, and its WSM radio home for 83 years, and other entertainment properties, and it's drawn fire from Robert Rowling, chairman of Gaylord's major shareholder, TRT Holdings. TRT wants to roughly double its stake in Gaylord to 30% and place four of its execs on the Gaylord board. The essence of the feud can be distilled from the dueling press releases. Gaylord's says, quote, "The company continues to believe it is not in the best interest of all of its shareholders to give TRT effective control over the company's long-term strategy without a full and fair price being paid to all Gaylord shareholders. TRT's filing is the continued attempt by a competitor to control Gaylord Entertainment without paying a premium," unquote. Noting that TRT owns the competing Omni hotel chain, the Gaylord release continues, quote, "The company would be happy to have the performance of Gaylord Hotels judged against the Omni Hotels with which they compete," unquote. TRT's Rowling responded by writing a letter to other Gaylord shareholders, which says, in part, quote, "In our view, the poster child for Gaylord's excess is its operation of a $15 million Gulfstream G-150 private jet. The plane is often used to fly back and forth to locations in Mississippi and Florida, where Gaylord's CEO maintains a personal farm and a vacation home. The jet has been used at least 36 times for this purpose, and this represents more than 25% of the total use of the plane. In addition to this frequent personal use, Gaylord is using the aircraft for what appears to be questionable purposes to places such as Alaska, South Dakota, Brazil, and Talladega on race day. After 2 years of owning the aircraft, Gaylord decided last month to block public access to the flight logs. This appears to be a decision to consciously avoid transparency in connection with the use of the plane," unquote. At least TRT isn't objecting to the idea of operating a plane per se. Still, the reinforcement of the stereotype of corporate jets as toys for the rich must be driving Ed Bolin nuts. The Obama administration officially takes over tomorrow, and among the new president's most anticipated early decisions will be those involving military procurement priorities. The program manager for the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter said Thursday he sees strong support for the F-35 from the services, allied partners, and so far, Capitol Hill. Based on initial indications and inquiries from Obama's transition team, Air Force Major General Charles R. Davis said he's confident the F-35 program begun during the Clinton administration will continue, even if budget restraints force scalebacks. Davis made the comments as keynote speaker at a Brookings Institution forum, the Joint Strike Fighter and Beyond. Davis conceded he gets many questions about the F-35's cost, expected to be $80 million to $90 million per aircraft, depending on the variant, and questions about the delivery schedule. If fewer aircraft are built, each one will cost more. Just before Davis made his comments, William Lynn, Obama's Deputy Defense Secretary nominee, told the Senate Armed Services Committee it would be very difficult for the Defense Department to keep all its weapons systems development programs on track in tight budget times. Lynn acknowledged the capabilities and value of both the F-22 and F-35 aircraft, particularly when considered together. For what it's worth, Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who's going to be staying on through the change in administrations, told airmen at Air Combat Command the new administration needs to, quote, "End the debate, make a decision, and move on. Start getting stuff built is just so important," unquote. Still ahead, Angel Flight West helps volunteers with fuel costs. Embry-Riddle orders 10 more Diamond Twins. And Cessna picks another controversial model name. You're listening to Aeronews.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, January 19th. I'm Paul Plack. Responding to the high price of aviation fuel, Angel Flight West is implementing a fuel discount program to help pilots on missions pay for fuel. The discount is currently available in the Albuquerque and Phoenix areas and will be available in other cities across 13 western states as funds are raised and arrangements with fuel suppliers put in place. By mitigating fuel costs, AFW hopes to increase the number of missions flown. The program uses grant funds to prepay the main fuel supplier for each gallon of fuel sold for AFW missions. The fuel supplier will match a specified dollar amount and possibly add an additional reduction in the price of each gallon of fuel. In a rare bit of good news for the general aviation segment, Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University has placed an order for 10 Diamond DA-42 L-360 twin-engine aircraft. That's the Lycoming gasoline-powered version of the DA-42 Twin Star. Embry-Riddle already has 10 Teeler diesel-powered DA-42s that it bought back in 2007. Diamond will begin deliveries to Embry-Riddle this spring with the full fleet of Lycoming-powered DA-42s in service at the Daytona Beach campus before the beginning of the next academic year. The L-360 model is equipped with counter-rotating IO-360s rated at 180 horsepower each, a G-1000 flight deck, and available flight into known ice certification. Frank Ayers, chairman of the flight department in Daytona Beach, commented, quote, "We believe this aircraft represents the leading edge of technology, safety, and performance for our students and instructors," unquote. When Cessna unveiled its new light sport aircraft, the name Skycatcher had some onlookers looking at each other quizzically. CEO Jack Pelton defended the name, quote, "That's what it is and that's what it does," unquote. And we're all getting kind of used to it now. Well, at last week's annual sales meeting in Wichita, Cessna announced its new 350 Corvallis and 400 Corvallis TT, which stands for twin turbocharged. The planes were formerly known as the Cessna 350 and 400, and before that as the Columbia 350 and 400. As more head scratching ensued, Cessna VP of Marketing Tom Aniello explained, quote, "Our customers and sales team asked us to name these products like other popular Cessnas, such as the Cardinal and Skyhawk. The name Corvallis, although spelled differently, was inspired from the name of a picturesque Oregon town about 120 miles west of Cessna's Bend manufacturing facility. It is a graceful word befitting the flowing lines of the aircraft and its unique Northwest heritage," unquote. It would be polite to call the reaction mixed. One participant on the Cessna Advanced Aircraft Club forums commented, quote, "It sounds like a $24,000 Chevy sedan," unquote. A second implied Corvallis is something Pfizer would sell. Quote, "Should I call my doctor for a prescription?" Unquote. A third simply said, quote, "Cessna is starting to scare me," unquote. Maybe in a little while we'll all get used to this new name too, but why did Cessna keep the numbers in the nomenclature? We've still got a Cessna 400 that's completely unrelated to the Cessna 400 series. And finally, Captain Sully Sullenberger, the 57-year-old pilot who made that textbook water landing of an Airbus A320 on the Hudson River Thursday, obviously is not a publicity enthusiast. He was reportedly hunkered down at his home on Friday, waiting for the hoopla over the Miracle on the Hudson to pass. But some of that hoopla should never have come to public light. Fox News got a copy of a childhood photo of Sullenberger from his old school district in Denison, Texas. But whoever made the copy of the photo, which was clipped to his academic records, also got the records themselves in the picture. And Fox ran with the info, reporting Sully missed 45 days of school in the first grade, but went on to earn straight A's, score consistently in the 99th percentile in every academic category, and, in an IQ test at age 12, qualified for membership in Mensa. That means at least 125. I guess if you're going to have your scholastic records leaked, it's nice to have them look that good, but Denison High School Principal Kevin Betker is still mortified over the leak. He told Fox, quote, "I don't know how that got out of the district. That was an accident that was not intended to be released," unquote. I find this story particularly interesting because it turns out I have something in common with Captain Sullenberger. I also missed exactly 45 days of first grade, in my case while recovering from pneumonia. I know, you were thinking, surely he means he qualified for Mensa. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, almost every new aircraft comes with glass in the panel, even LSAs. But will it make us better pilots? CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves gives us his thoughts. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.